There you go. Acts chapter 2 this evening. And we'll look, as I said, some well-known scripture here tonight. Real quick here tonight, I've got a message on my heart I want to give you, and we'll not keep you long, because it's an old cold January evening, ain't it? Amen. We about got this and over with, though. Thank the Lord, next Sunday's February, and then Groundhog. Is tomorrow Groundhog Day or next Monday Groundhog Day? Sometime pretty soon. And we're praying that he'll go out there and see his shadow and have a heart attack or whatever. It's next Monday. And we'll have good weather. Groundhog has a heart attack on Groundhog Day. It means summer is nigh. Amen. Acts chapter 2 this evening. Let's look in our Bibles here. I want to show you. What I want to preach tonight is the model church member. The model church member. It ought to be your goal to be a model church member. Here in Acts chapter 2, look at what these people did. In verse number 40, verse 42, it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good and parted them as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I hear this people all the time. He is the model preacher. She is the model singer. He is the model businessman. He's the model athlete. He's the model, you hear that a lot. People out in the world, they say, he's the model banker. Or he's the model this or whatever. Our job and our desire tonight ought to be a model Christian. Now, I've known a lot of churches, and I was in one this week. And I know, and every church has a little part of it that's people that's really on fire for God, love the Lord, and just really in there and everything. And then you got a crowd that's sort of about halfway in. And then you have another crowd that sort of just comes and they're spectators. They just come on Sunday morning and just sort of watch what's going on and get the Lord off their back, so to speak. And then they leave and go home. And that's about the end of their religion till next Sunday. Watch me out. I'm too loud. And they come back and get another dose the next Sunday. Now tonight, a church shouldn't be divided up into really dedicated, so-so, and backslid. Everybody ought to want to be a model church member. If you're a member of this church tonight, you ought to want to be a model church member. The other day, we was down in Boxville, and we went to eat at this little barbecue restaurant, little bitty place, not even not much bigger than this choir. And a local man owned it, and all those little towns down around in there, they're like Mayberry. And went in there. There was a couple of ladies sitting behind us over here, and you couldn't help. I mean, I wasn't trying to be, you couldn't help but hear this talking so loud. And as soon as we sat down, one of them said, "Well, where was the preacher?" And I said, "I don't know." And that caught my ear immediately, because they're talking about church. And boy, they proceeded to be now this. And look at that picture there. Boy, my hair looks awful in that. And they began to talk. And they were just talking about church and God, Bible and everything. And I thought, you know, I wonder where them ladies go to church. I remember one time I was in a church and I was getting ready to preach. And I went in the back trying to find me a place to pray. And I went in a little old room, like a little closet or something. And I got down to pray like this. And it just so happened there's two ladies in the nursery right beside it. They didn't know I was in there praying. And one of them said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. The preacher better not ask me to do nothing because I ain't doing nothing." Hell, just said, "I'm not either. I'm sitting there." And I thought, boy, here we are trying to help church. And that is the attitude of a lot of our members. Isn't that sad and pitiful? So I'm going to talk to you about the model church member tonight. Now, some of you, you're saying, "Look, you're doing good getting me here tonight, preacher. Just lay off me." But there's some of you tonight will take this serious. And there's some of you will say,
You know what? That's what I want to be. A model church member. I will say first tonight, a model church member is one who has been convicted of sin. John 16 and verse 7. I remember when I got under conviction. I mean, if you ain't never been under conviction, you ain't never really been born again. Conviction is that miserable feeling that you get before you get saved, and you know that your life, you're miserable. You know you're missing something down on the inside, and you know that there's something better. I'll never forget feeling like that. When I was 16, 17, these boys we played ball with all the time. And we played ball, and I remember getting bored playing basketball. I never get bored playing ball. And I remember thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. I remember thinking that. And God was dealing with my heart. It was the Lord that was convicting me, that empty spot down on the inside. And I remember thinking, is this all you do? You grow up, you have fun, you get money, you buy a car, you live life, get sick and die. Is this it? And I remember that I felt like something was missing in my, you know, that was conviction. I'm telling you, brother, I got under conviction. And some of you can tell us stories about when you was under conviction. Well, we went and got it saved. I got saved and got it over with and got it fixed. I'm not only convicted of sin, but converted from sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, brother, it said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you want to be a model church member, you got to be in Jesus Christ. I'm convinced tonight there's a lot of churches, got a lot of people trying to do spiritual things that ain't even never been saved. By God's grace, you got to be in. You've got to be in. You've got to be in and a part of the family. And not only converted, not only convicted, you got to be consecrated to God. Romans 12 and verse 2. It's not just for a few, it's for everybody. Not many are sold out. But a few are. Not only that, you're to be campaigning for Christ. In Luke 14:23, we're on a campaign to try to reach others. There's always somebody out there needing help. Today, when we stopped up here, exit 103, to eat, and I told Kelly, look, that guy over there, and I always, my heart goes out to homeless people. My heart goes out to, and there was a man over there on the interstate bridge. Y'all might have seen him when you got on there. He was sitting there and up against the bridge, had a pair of crutches. And I said, oh my goodness. And I know a lot of people say, oh, don't help them people. They got them signs. They're liars. Ain't nothing wrong with them. Well, there's something wrong with this man. He only had one leg. He said, did anybody see that man up there beside us? Y'all saw him? Well, anyway, I told Kelly, I said, I'm going to pick him up. And she said, okay, you are. And so I pulled over there, and I rolled down the window. I said, hey, buddy, you all right? He said, yeah. I said, where are you going? He said, I think somewhere in Arkansas. And I said, well, we ain't going to Arkansas. Hoppy-Tommy ain't quite that far. You hop in. And he got in the back, took his crutches, and his name was Paul. Y'all pray for Paul. I didn't smell no alcohol. I'm telling you, I felt so sorry for that man. You know where he slept last night? Under a bridge down here. Left West Virginia Thursday. Come down 77, got Statesville, and taken Interstate 40 all the way to Arkansas, where he had some family. Boy, I tell you, she was scared because I actually took him to Marion, where he could stand a better chance of getting a ride. And I talked to him all the way up the road. I said, Paul, you ever been saved? He said, yeah. I said, Paul, you had a grandma or mama one that loved the Lord and named you Paul. That's a Bible name. He said, well, my daddy's name is Israel. I said, Lordy mercy, you really had somebody in your family. I felt so sorry for that guy. He spent the last three nights outside. Wasn't drunk, wasn't on drugs, I could tell. And I'm telling you, just having it rough. There's some people having it rough, y'all. That's what Christian for. And I'm not telling you to pick up people. I do, because I believe the Lord wants me to. You don't. You do whatever God tells you to. I don't want to tell you to, and then somebody kill you or something. But I already got my plan made. If he'd have stuck a gun to my head, I'd have grabbed it and say, boy, I'll take your crutches. But you ain't going nowhere. If he'd have stuck a gun to her head, I'd have said, you better watch out. And I just kidding. I'd grab him and break that arm just like that, brother. But no, I'm telling you, the Lord took care of it. But anyway, you know what? That's what she said. She said, he wouldn't stick it to your head, he'd stick it to mine. And he didn't, though. He didn't. And he's a nice fella. I tried to help him. You know what? We went on the bus route the other day, last Saturday, and one of the ladies called me. We was over here on the other side of Morgan. She called me. She said, "Brother Danny, where are y'all?" I said, "We're way up across exit 100. They was down here at exit 104 in Nola Road. They said, "Brother Danny, there's a man down here. We just knocked on the door, and he came to get the door, bawling his eyes out, and wouldn't let us in. Can y'all come and see him?" I said, "Where's he live?" So me and her drove over there, pulled up in front of the house, little old trailer there, pitiful situation. I went and knocked on the door. I heard somebody say, "Come in!" And we opened the door. Me and her walked in. Very, very pitiful situation. There's a big old fella, way bigger than me, sitting like this, big old beard like that, just sitting there bawling his eyes out. Uncontrollably. I said, "Ma'am, what in the world's wrong?" He said he just found his wife dead. He said they're having her funeral right now up in West Virginia. They shipped her by, they cremated her, shipped her back up there, and was having her funeral right then. He was sitting up bawling. I said, "Lordy mercy, man." I said, I it breaks my heart for you." He said, "Preacher, we were sitting there watching TV," and he said, "We was watching a movie," and she got up and went on to bed. And I said, "Honey, I'll be on the bed in a few minutes." He said, "I finished watching the movie." He said, "I went in there to get in the bed, and I touched her, she's stiff and she's cold." Said, "I called 911. They come and pronounced her dead." And he was big old tall. Ain't just something about a big old strong man crying, boy. I mean, it's pitiful. I'm going to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Lord left us here. If He didn't have a work for us to do, He'd have took us all when we got saved. But He didn't leave us here just to enjoy the world, for heaven's sake. He left us here to build a campaign to help other people. If anybody here having problems, I tell you what to do. Come out there and go next Saturday, and you watch your problems just go like this. Littler, littler, littler. When you see other people, I'll guarantee you that. Help out. I want to say one who has been convicted. I want to say secondly tonight, a model church member is one who is willing to do three things. Humble himself before God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble himself. Humility. God crowns with victory, but it will not fit a swollen head. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If there's anything God don't want us to be, it's proud. Amen? Now listen, don't be proud. God don't bless proud people. And buddy, churches are eat up with it. I'm singing groups get up, and Lord in mercy, you'd think they're sprouting wings up there. Preachers walk in like, "Here I am, I'm the great, wonderful so-and-so." Listen, it's wrong to be proud. Well, you stay humble, people. Stay down like it's right here. You'll get your head knocked off if you stick it up there too high. The Bible said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." You ain't got nothing to be proud of except what the Lord's done for you and your family, and be proud of that. But nothing that you've done, nothing that I've done, we have to be proud of tonight. Amen? That's right, brother. And then honor your fellow man. Now, here's some good advice. You want to be a good Christian? Be severe on yourself and gentle with others. Once again, be severe on yourself and gentle with others. I've heard people just rake somebody else over the coal and don't preach that same sermon to ourselves. I try to be harder on myself than I am other people. If I see somebody doing something, I always think, "Well, look what I do. I can't complain. I can't fuss about them." I heard about this fellow out in, he's somewhere out in a shopping center somewhere, and he's trying to get a parking place, and his car is real close, and he squeezed his car in there. Well, he just barely gets the door open. Well, you know, you've done that before, ain't you? And you think, "Well, maybe they won't hit my car, and I'm not going to hit their car." So he squeezed his car in there real close where he could just barely get the door open and get out, and he got out like that. And when he come back, there was a note on his car that says, "I hope someday you're pregnant and somebody parks this close to you." That's bad. That's awful. Amen. But anyway, you know, you never know what somebody else. Always think of what somebody else My, think of that other person. Think of that other person. Part of being a good Christian is always thinking about the other person. And part of our Christianity today is everything revolves around me and my wants and my feelings. Some of you men in here tonight, your whole family has to bow down to you like you're God, and you are not God. And they shouldn't have to. You ought to give in. You ought to accommodate your wife and your kids. Some of you ladies in here tonight, you run the whole show. Everybody has to do what you say. That ain't right. You ought to think about the other people. You ought to think about your husband, your wife. Be nice, brother. Be humble. Honor each other like the Bible said. You ought to be a good church member. Amen. Help those in need. I've already said it. Get in the bus ministry. Amen. We talked to another girl yesterday on the bus route. Yesterday, Lord have mercy, she looked messed up. I don't know if she's on drugs, but I think she was. And boy, she was just, whoa, wow. I'm telling you, and I said, come tonight. I said, come to church tomorrow. And her neighbors was here this morning. They sat right back here, and I said, where's she at? And they said, Lord, preacher, I don't know. She took off last night, and we ain't seen her since. And she's supposed to work this morning at the restaurant up here. But I'm going to tell you this evening, listen, we're supposed to care about our fellow man. We're supposed to help. We are supposed to help those in need. Let me say thirdly tonight, a model church member is one who understands the Scriptures. In Luke 24 and verse 18, along there 8, it said he opened the Scripture that they might know him. The Lord opened the Scripture. Now I'm going to say something tonight, and I want you to get it real good. All you young people over here tonight, all you folks that come regular, all you folks that are visitors, and everybody in here, you ought to be able to get something out of the Scripture once in a while. Now, I preach everybody ought to read the Bible, and I hope you are. And I believe a lot of you in here are reading the Bible. I read the Bible every day. But you know what? When I read the Bible, God speaks to me, and I see things, and I get little things. Now, you ought to be able to do that too. Don't just come to church and say, well, Brother Danny, show us something from the Scripture. You ought to be able to read your Bible. You ought to teach these kids to read the Bible and look for stuff. And it'll jump out and get you a little truth. You ought to be able to get something out of the Scripture once in a while. A real Christian and a real church member. Look, people, you know the same God I know. I'm not on no other level. I don't know Greek, don't know Hebrew, don't want to know. If we got the Word of God in English, we don't need another language. If this is God's book, what in the world would we need Greek and Hebrew for? I'm not going to get up here and quote y'all a bunch of Greek words to make you think you have to come to me to understand the Bible. You got the same Bible I've got. You can get something out of it too. Hit your knees. Ask God to speak to you. Open the book. Get something out of the Bible once in a while. You ladies ought to, once in a while, when your husband come on and say, look, honey, look what I seen in the Scripture today. You men ought to say, honey, God showed me something. Look here what God gave me. And if that's not happening to you, maybe you're not spending any time in it. Or maybe your heart attitude's not right while you're spending time in the Word of God. Understand the Scripture. Then you're unspotted from the world. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, you're different. You're different. We're different from the world. We're not part of what they are. We don't belong in the same outfit. I mean, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I was talking about them playing basketball over there a while ago. And you know what we do? We have prayer. Somebody don't want to have prayer, they're in the wrong place. We have prayer, brother. Listen, you don't have no business doing something you can't have prayer before you do it. Amen? That's right. You say, well, I'm going to this party and these people don't pray and everything. So well, I'm going to tell you, buddy, if I go, I'm going to pray. Amen. And if they say no praying, what they're saying is Jesus ain't welcome here. And if Jesus can't go, we can't go. Say amen right there. We're Christians. We're a moral Christian. We're trying to be a Christian for God. Brother, we are unspotted from the world. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but that's why you Christian girl, you don't come in with pink hair and dead baby diapers stuck through your nose and wearing some kind of weird kind of Marilyn Manson outfit. We're supposed to be different from this world. Amen. So you teenage boy, you can't figure out if you want to be Eminem or Billy Sunday. They bring a Bible and preach one Sunday, and next Sunday they're M&M. I'm telling you, brother, you ought to be unspotted from the world. They ought to know at work they can't tell dirty jokes around you. They ought to know that. They ought to know, not around him. Well, you have to wait till he leaves before we bring this out. That's a good testimony, amen? We ought to be unique in our appearance and our testimony and try to avoid the appearance of evil on our job. Sometimes something ain't wrong, but it just looks wrong. And you have to be careful about how things appear. And so you have to use your own judgment sometimes. Sometimes you think not. But we ought to be careful what kind of testimony we're being for the Lord before we go somewhere or before we do something. Number four, a model church member is one who will reach out after others. Now they say 48% of new salesmen in a company quit after knocking on one door trying to sell a vacuum cleaner or an insurance policy, one call. 25% more quit after two calls. 15% more quit after three calls. And 88% of the business is done by 12% of the salesmen. Just a handful of salesmen. If what's called rainbow vacuum cleaners hires 100 men, 12 of them wind up selling vacuum cleaners, and 80 something of them quit. Now, that's the same way it is in God's house, except the devil ain't fighting them rainbow vacuum cleaner salesmen. I saw Charles, I talking to him yesterday. I said something about us getting out busy and everything. He said he thought it was Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, you know, he said, the devil ain't fighting him. That's right. That's right. You know why Jehovah's Witnesses can go out here all week long and Mormons can ride bicycles all day long and knock on doors and you try it and you and your husband will get in a fight and the kids will take a fit and everything, you feel terrible and something tears up because the devil don't want you to do it. That's why. Amen. That's right. I want to tell you something, brother. A model church member is one that will reach out to others. I heard about this guy, this preacher. See if I can tell his story right. Just heard the other day. Said, times was real hard. And he went down the road, and there was a family, a man and wife, out in the field eating grass. Like an ox. Eating grass. They didn't have nothing. And he stopped and said, are y'all all right? They said, we're starving to death. We ain't got nothing. He said, come on, go with me. I'll help you. About on down the road, he seen another family out eating grass. And he said, y'all all right? They said, yeah, but we're starving. There's nothing else to eat. We're just eating grass, like trying to make it like lettuce. And he said, come on, go with me. And they said, are you going to help us? He said, yeah. He said, my grass is a foot high at my house. Now, that's about the average Christian, ain't it? Ain't that the way we are? But we don't even care if somebody started up, unless they can do something for us. There's so much self and self-centeredness and self-love in a lot of Christian people. There ain't no wonder God can't bless most churches tonight. Listen, if we want God to bless us, we got to get in a blessing condition. Amen. Not on that. He said we're supposed to be resting in hope. When he goes to the hospital, we have hope. When we go to the graveyard, we have hope. When we go to the divorce court, we have hope. When they're putting us in jail or your family in jail, we have hope. When we go down there and the doctor says, all right, lay down like this. They put their leg. Now you're going to feel very sleepy. We have hope. Brother, when we go down there and the undertaker said, there you are. You want to look at them for one last time? We can go around and look at our loved ones and say, thank God we sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. Listen, a model church member is somebody, when somebody in the family dies, they say, thank God I'll see them again. My heart's broke, but glory to God, we'll meet again over on the other side. That we ought to have that kind of hope. We ought to have that kind of belief in us. Listen, this Christian life, it includes everything. It includes every part of our life, every angle of our being. There is no part of your life that is not involved in your Christian life. You don't, I know a lot of people say, well, you separate your professional life from your religious life. Oh, no. That's what Bill Clinton tried to do. You ever hold your life. Every part of your life is every part of your life. And God's a part of all of our lives. Well, amen. Then we rejoice in the Lord too. Remember where God brought you from. Remember where God's done, what God's done for you. I go to a lot of churches and I say, well, Lord, praise God. And if the Lord starts moving and really, really moving in the church, a lot of people say, woo! And get in on it. And that's good. I ain't fussing at you. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just haul off and praise Him even when we don't feel goosebumps going up and down. I mean, I don't feel that great right now. Got a headache. I've been wore out and all that. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't feel goosebumps on my neck right now. But I'll tell you one thing. I raise my hand up and say, I ain't going to hell. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Lord, and it won't be long the Lord show up. You say, boy, if the Lord shows up, we'll praise Him. No, no, no. That's backwards. You praise Him and praise Him, He'll show up. Bible said He inhabits the praise of His people, y'all. Praise the Lord once in a while. Lord, in mercy. I mean, I'm not fussing at you because some of y'all just natured quietly, but you ought to learn how to say amen and say it. Say amen. We need some amen courses, 101 or something. I mean, and I know you're listening because I can see you soaking it in, but just like, you watch me like this. And I need to know once in a while that you're out there. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't say, well, these old preacher boys, let them say amen. No! It's for everybody. Tell them once in a while, holler amen once in a while. Well, next. A model Christian is that one that should be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Lay aside every weight. Now I know, probably, there's not anybody in here that was drunk last night. Probably there might have been. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past a couple of you. I could about lay my hand on a couple too right now. I ain't stupid. You know, if I know, God knows. But I don't think most of y'all smoking crack last night or doing crystal meth or something. But boy, these other sins. Besides, what about that old long gossiping tongue? About that long. I know some of you ladies, you got your little gossip partner. Some of you men got your gossip partner. And y'all call each other and you talk. And you think, well, it's just me and her. So it's all right. For us to blah, 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 blah about everybody in the church. But it ain't all right. These three people get hurt every time somebody gossips. Number one, the one doing it. Number two, the one listening. And number three, the one they're talking about. It don't help nobody. The only one that likes it's the devil. And the only one that helps, you ought to make up your mind. I'm not going to say anything about anybody that I ain't got no business saying about. You do understand that as soon as you hang up with that person you like to gossip with, that they're going to talk to somebody else. If they'll gossip with you, they'll gossip about you. Amen. You just make up your mind. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to quit gossiping. I ain't going to be involved in no gossip circle. Lord, I know churches where ain't nobody got no confidence in nobody else. Because all they do is call each other all week long. Instead of getting out and going on a bus route, that's their ministry to call and get on the phone or on Nosebook and nose in each other's life. And by the way, I'll say it again, I ain't been in a church yet that wasn't half tore all to pieces over the people in the church on that computer cutting each other up and fussing and a fighting and arguing with each other and killing the spirit. You see how quiet it is in here right now? You know why you don't say amen? Because you're guilty as a devil! Your sin just as bad as drinking liquor! Don't you say a word about that boy coming in there with liquor on his breath, or that girl coming in with a nose jewel and run your mouth and get behind that computer and gossip all night and cut your church members down. Amen right there. Amen. I'm a bringing it, brother. I'm a fixing to. One who should be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. The only time people don't like gossip is when it's about them. I got one little boy showed up and he said, Lord, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who trash basket against us. That's the truth, ain't it? Move on quickly tonight. courteous to visitors. Courteous to visitors. How long has it been since you got out of your comfort zone? I don't know why. I don't know why y'all can't help me with this. You get out of your comfort zone and go around and be nice to somebody. Every time when I say, all right, let's fellowship, most people only talk to the people that they see in all the time. Wouldn't it be a blessing? We had a family been coming every Sunday. Brand new family, sitting near the back there. Every Sunday. I found out where they live and went and visited them a few weeks ago. I went down to things on a Monday night or Tuesday night, sat down and talked to this family. I said, I'm so glad y'all are coming to our church. We just love to have you. I tell you what, praise the Lord, we're glad you're here. And you know what that lady told me? She didn't say, boy, we enjoy your preaching. She didn't say, man, y'all got a pretty building. She's named one lady in this church. And it was Chanel. Miss Chanel sits right over here. She's not here tonight. She said, Chanel. She said, what's that girl named? Chanel. I said, Chanel? Yeah. She described her. And I said, yeah. Once got all the kids, yeah. She said, I appreciate her so much. She has made us feel so welcome. She said, she walked all the way across there and shook our hand. And that meant the world to them people. That meant the world. You know what? They've done studies. They have done studies. And they say that when a church, when people go in anywhere, if it's any kind of gathering, their first impression of a church is how welcome. That's why these crazy churches grow like crazy. They eat people up when they come in. They make them feel special. I mean, be nice to them. It's a shame you have to do that. That's the Lord. But they do. And boy, we come in and look at them like, who's that? And we're Christians? I know people that, I've heard people that say, what's she doing here? If she's going to come, I ain't coming. Wow, you really got a good Christian spirit. And they automatically hate somebody, especially if she's pretty. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. I've a pretty woman come in, and all the women say, I don't like her. You scared your husband to look at her? Maybe you need to work on yourself a little bit, sister. And I mean, I know nobody, everybody's not blessed with beauty, but good night, you can take, wash your hair. I mean, you can brush your teeth and smell good. You may not be Miss America, but you... how did I get off on all that? Lordy mercy. But listen, don't dislike somebody just because they're pretty or something. That ain't right. Don't be such a snob. Make your visitors welcome. And then, be content with what he has. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, says, be content with his own, what he's got. Be godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, most church members always want more, always want more, always want more. Sometimes it is more important to discover what you can't do than to know what you can do. More important to you. That'll help you. Amen? Be content with what you have. Instead of saying, I want this, I want that, just get up and say, you know what? I read this last night. It said, if we would be as thankful for all the little things we have as we are complaining about all the little bad things that happen, it'd change our life. Think about how thankful you ought to be just to be able to see, hear, feel, eat, have an appetite, walk, and feel, and be saved and in your right mind. Your blessings far outweigh them few little bad things that didn't go your way today. Glory to God, people. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm saved by the grace of God. Going to heaven when I die. Names in the book of life. On my way to glory. I'll be over there under the sweet by and by. I ain't got no reason to complain tonight. Whew, hallelujah. The last thing I'll say and I'm done. A model church member ought to hate sin, be holy in conversation, and be honest in communion. Number one, he ought to hate sin. The bravest man in the church is the man who can conquer himself, not his enemies. The hardest victory you'll ever win is victory over yourself. Hardest battle I fight is keeping Danny straightened out. Amen? Keep that! You look around and say, looks like they could do something. Boy, I tell you what, I'll straighten you people. Hardest battle you've got is keeping your old sorry self straight. Keeping your own heart right with God. And by the way, the most important thing in your life is keeping your heart right with God. Not what you do, not how much money you give. I know people have just got into this religious show and they go to this conference and that conference and I do this and I do that and ain't nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, if your heart ain't right, it's a big waste. Your heart's got to be right. Your heart's got to be right. Your heart has to be right, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it. You learn how to hate sin. And then you'll be holy in conversation. Amen. One of the greatest freedoms you have is the freedom to discipline yourself. Be severe on yourself and gentle on other people. Be severe on yourself and gentle on other people. I couldn't tell you the times when I preached hard. And I went home and got down and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Felt like I was too hard on them tonight, Lord. Forgive me. If I'm going to be harder on myself and easier on the people. It's easy to be hard on others. Put the same rules you do on other people on yourself. You'll live right. You say, well, I've actually heard people say, well, I've been out of church. I was out of church. I've been out 3 weeks. Has anybody, nobody's called me. Nobody's been to see me. You know what? You never went to see nobody. They never call nobody. How can you expect people to come visit you and call you and check on you when you never called nobody, went to see them, and checked on them? You're putting a different set of rules on everybody else than you do your own self. So, boy, our offering needs to be more. Are you giving what you're supposed to? If you ain't, shut up. Amen? That's right. Be holy in conversation. And then be honest in communion. Staying right with God is the most important thing in your life. You know what the most important thing in your life is? Your personal relationship with God. Staying right in your heart. Because if you don't do that, nothing else is going to amount to nothing. That's a model Christian. Now, there's no way in the world that I can preach all this stuff and something not convict you. I guarantee you there ain't a person in here that didn't feel a little conviction while I was preaching, including me. I can preach myself. And so that means every one of us ought to be repenting. Be here and say, Lord, I want to be the church member you want me to be. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. The model church member. You man enough? Woman enough? Get down here and say, Lord, I mean, I know it's perfection we're shooting for, and we miss it a long way. Come on, ladies. Come on, men. That's right. Let's get down here tonight and say, Lord, I want to be the kind of church member that you'd be pleased. You are going to answer to God one day for the kind of church member you are. You know that, don't you? Let's ask God to help us be the model church member. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd bless our church. Let us be what you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace, not just in number, but in spirit, and be what you want us to be. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. You come on. Come on. Join us here tonight. Amen. Come on tonight. Join us on this altar. Meet us here at this altar tonight. And let's pray. Amen. Amen. Where's my mic on, y'all?
Search me and try me, Master, today.
Say it.
Whiter than snow.
Amen.
Wash me just now.
Come on now, say. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Let's sing one more, brother. Everybody sing now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Amen.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway.
Say,
fill with thy spirit.
Well, glory to God.
Shall see Christ only all.
Amen. While some still praying tonight, bus workers, let me challenge you tonight. Let's get to work this week. Maybe pray, all the bus workers, maybe pray a little extra during the week. Set aside a little time every day to pray for the bus kids. Maybe we'll have something special next Sunday. Sort of a